Welcome to the German Beer Academy. Nice to have you here. Let's have a great time together.
Ever come across a beer description that sounds like, well, a Shakespearean sonnet about hops and malt?
I've seen a few of those.
Yeah, like you need a dictionary just to order a pint.
Right.
We're diving deep into that today.
Yeah.
Unpacking the why and how behind those sometimes over-the-top beer descriptions.
So it's fun.
We've got a treasure trove of materials from, get this, the German Beer Academy.
Yeah.
Specifically, Module 12 of their International Beer Sommelier course, all about the art of describing beer.
Ah, the Germans. They take their beer seriously.
No kidding. But it is fascinating stuff. Like, there's a whole strategy to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not just about flowery language, though. It's about tailoring your message to your audience.
Oh, right, right. Like, think about those one-liners you see on a brewery's website versus, say, the tasting notes from a beer competition. Totally different ballgame.
Exactly. You've got your consumer-facing descriptions, which are all about piquing interest, maybe sparking a little FOMO. Then you have the more technical language used by brewers and industry folks to analyze and discuss beer on a deeper level.
So it's this balancing act between accuracy and, let's be honest, marketing hype.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
And the material even highlighted this with the Polaner Brewery's guidelines for their website copy. They're surprisingly specific.
Yeah, I was blown away by that. For their Salvatore Doppelbock, they dictate the ideal length, the must-have keywords, even the overall tone. They're not messing around.
And it really underscores the potential conflict between pure sensory description and marketing objectives.
Mm.
Finding that sweet spot where the description is both accurate and enticing, that's the real craft.
Okay, so let's jump into some real-world examples from the Beer Academy's exercises, because they really go there.
All right, let's do it.
First up, we're tackling a classic, Polaner Salvatore. The material compares the brewery's own website description with, let's call it a more expressive version from the Beer Academy.
I think I know where this is going.
Right. It's like night and day. The Polaner one, it's fine. It's your standard website blurb, hits the basics, color, aroma, throws in a little history. But, you know.
It's functional. Gets the job done. But the Beer Academy, they went all out. It's practically a love letter to the beer.
Totally. They're talking about the appearance, the aroma, how it feels in your mouth, even the, wait for it, the Schlieren clinging to the glass.
Ah, yes, the Schlieren.
Schlieren, right. It's like way more evocative than just saying streaks or lacing.
Absolutely. It adds a certain elegance, a sense of history and tradition. You can practically taste the centuries of Bavarian brewing expertise in that one word.
It's amazing how a single word can completely change the game, huh? Okay, so exercise two takes us from the familiar to, well, maybe not so much, with Müllerbrau.
Müllerbrau, yep.
They've got descriptions for three of their beers, Gold Export, Festus, and Rednecks, each one representing a different style. And again, they're comparing the brewery's official spiel with their own amped-up interpretations.
And you can see the difference in approach immediately.
Oh, yeah. The brewery's going for that broad appeal. Straightforward, easy to understand, ticks all the boxes. But the Beer Academy? They're painting a picture, man.
Evoking an experience. Like with the Festus, which is a naturally cloudy Kellar beer. They use this phrase, pleasantly flattering fine bitterness.
Pleasantly flattering, I love that. Who knew bitterness could be so charming?
Exactly. It's unexpected. It's intriguing.
Yeah.
It makes you want to take a sip and see for yourself, right?
It's like they're shaping your entire perception of the beer before you even get a chance to try it. Subliminal beer messaging, man.
In a way, yes. It's the power of language.
Mm.
And they're doing it masterfully.
Okay, last but not least, we're taking a trip back in time with, drumroll please, Schneiderweisse.
Always a good choice.
They've got descriptions for their beers from 2015 and 2023 side by side, and it's wild to see how much the language has shifted in just a few years.
It's a microcosm of what's happening in the craft beer world as a whole. This movement towards a more evocative, experiential approach to describing beer.
Like, take their TAP1 Hefeweizen. In 2015, they're all about the citrusy hops. Fast forward to 2023, and suddenly it's summery, fruity aromas and joie de vivre the Bavarian way.
I mean, you can practically hear the Oompa band in the background.
Right. It's brilliant marketing, honestly. They're selling a lifestyle, an aspiration.
It's not just a beer. It's a ticket to Bavaria.
Okay, so we've talked about writing those tantalizing beer descriptions, but what about those awards you see plastered on beer bottles? Those shiny medals.
The bragging rights.
Exactly. Who decides which brews deserve those top honors?
Well, that's where the world of beer competitions comes in. And believe me, it's serious business.
Oh, I bet those judges, they don't mess around.
Nope. They've got rigorous standards, meticulous analysis. It's all about recognizing and celebrating brewing excellence.
The materials mention some pretty big names, like the World Beer Cup and the European Beer Star.
Oh, yeah. Those are the big leagues.
It's like the Oscars for beer.
Absolutely. And just like the Oscars, these competitions aren't just about prestige. They actually have a huge influence on consumer preferences and industry trends. You know, a gold medal from one of those competitions can make or break a brewery.
Wow, high stakes. So how does this whole judging thing work? I mean, is it all subjective or are there like specific criteria they're looking for?
Well, it's a fascinating blend of objective measures and finely tuned palates. You see, each competition has these detailed style guidelines for all sorts of different beers, from German Pilsners to American IPAs. And the judges, they go through extensive training to spot even the subtlest nuances of each style.
So it's not just like, oh, I like this one.
Well, no, not at all. It's a lot more technical than that.
And to keep things fair, they do all this blind tasting, right?
Well, absolutely. Blind tasting is crucial.
So no biased opinions based on a brewery's reputation or anything?
Nope. The judges get a series of coded samples completely in the dark about the brewery or the beer's backstory.
Talk about pressure. I bet those off flavors we discussed earlier are a judge's worst nightmare.
Oh, you're telling me one whiff of diacetyl or a hint of that skunky light struck flavor and it's game over.
Light struck. That's the one where light makes the beer taste weird.
Yep. It's a chemical reaction that happens when light interacts with the hops in beer, creates this really unpleasant aroma and flavor.
Hmm?
It's actually a good reminder to always store your beer in a dark, cool place.
Good tip. So for those of us who aren't exactly beer connoisseurs, what are some key takeaways from all this?
Well, next time you crack open a cold one, take a moment to appreciate the journey that beer took to get to your glass. Think about the brewer's skill, the artistry, and really pay attention to the experience. Savor the aroma, the flavor, the mouthfeel. You can even try your hand at writing your own tasting notes using some of the descriptive language we talked about.
I love that idea. It's like taking a deep dive into every sip.
Precisely. It's about mindfulness and appreciation.
And who knows, maybe we'll even uncover some hidden gems along the way.
Exactly. Cheers to that.
That's it for now. Thanks for listening and see you soon in the Academy.